You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Want to earn extra cash for the holidays? Amazon Flex is expanding in the San Francisco Bay Area. Opportunities in Richmond, Oakland, and Daly City. Earn around $20 to $27 an hour delivering packages with Amazon. All you need is a car, a smartphone, and some free time. This is a great opportunity to be your own boss, deliver when you want, and make extra money. With Amazon Flex, you'll have flexible hours and great earnings. To get started, download the app at flex.amazon.com. That's flex.amazon.com. You must be at least 21 years old. Limited opportunities available. Get started at flex.amazon.com.
You're listening to NBC Sports Radio. Weekends. This is the Two Robbies Football Show, your number one source for Premier League football on NBC Sports Radio. Now, your hosts, Robbie Musto and Robbie Earl.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies Football Show here on NBC Sports Radio. I'm Robbie Musto and he's Robbie Earl on a day when Bob Bradley made history. The first American to manage a Premier League game. We'll chat with our pal Carl Martino later in the show to discuss that. But first, let's start at Stamford Bridge, the home of Chelsea Football Club. A new look Chelsea, Robbie Earl, blew away the champions Leicester City 3-0.
Yeah, and you've got to stay with me on this one because I'm not sure if you've ever had a suit made for you or you've had one off the peg. These tailor-made...
And I go for the cheap ones,
and these
mate.
Off the peg. Yeah, these off the peg. I think off the peg for Chelsea was Chelsea playing in the 4-1-4-1 system. I just thought it didn't quite fit. Now I think they've got tailor-made. I think they've gone bespoke. I think they've gone 3-4-3. And what I see, Rob, is a team that's more comfortable, that has looks stronger at the back, that has more attacking threats and has the width that's required in a team to be successful. So the transition to a system, and we often talk about tactics and formation systems, you can get caught up in it, but here's an issue where a change of system has made the individuals in the group better, and I think it's a way forward for Antonio Conte.
Yeah, I think so. It's taken him quite a few weeks to come up with this, and we knew that the history of this man is playing in this system so successfully at Juventus for a long period of time, three championships there. And when you looked at his squad, you're thinking, well, yeah, I think it can work. I think David Luiz has been central to that. He's the central of the three defenders. I think Victor Moses, Rob, in terms of changing this Chelsea. That's why I started the show by saying a new look Chelsea. Yes, it's a new look formation, but there's new players in the team. Marcus Alonso, I think, has looked very comfortable at left wing back. He's left-footed. He gives them that width, that balance, the ability to cross balls in. Victor Moses is a willing worker, Rob. So not only has he got a little bit of skill, a little bit of quality. By the way, our man of the match today and scored a wonderful goal, the third goal. But I think he's got the determination and the work ethic to get back as well. We both like N'Golo Kante.
Yeah, with a partner.
He's got more ability to go and find the ball, go and ferret, make those challenges because matches will sit. And I just think that it was Pedro today and Hazard in and around Costa. I like those three up there, Rob. I think, as you said, everybody's playing a little bit better, which makes the whole team performance a lot better.
Talk to me about the three centre-backs because they're fundamental to this system. Today we have David Luiz, Gary Cahill and Azpilicueta. When everybody's fit with the players at the football club, Rob, so I'm not talking about who he may buy. If everybody's fit, does John Terry play as one of the three? Does Ivanovic come into things? Does Kurt Zouma come into things? What would be the ideal three if we don't bring another player in?
Okay. I think John Terry will force his way into the team very soon, by the way.
Can he play left centre-back of a three, Rob?
I think David Luiz will go to left centre-back and John Terry would play in the middle. You can't expose him in a wider area. But to answer your question, I think Kurt Zouma, left side centre-back. I think David Luiz, centre-back. And Cesar Azpilicueta. I like him. I know he's a full-back. He's not...
So what you're saying, if that title-winning defence, Ivanovic, John Terry, Gary Cahill, no place in the first team?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. Revolution.
Well, you've got Zuma, who's a beast defensively. Yeah. You've got David Luiz, who's a lovely footballer, and he's not a beast. You've got Cesar Azpilicueta. This is just a conscientious, good, reliable defender. I think, given time, that back three can be really good. Now, that's controversial, and others might say, well,
a bit loose, a little bit wild maybe,
certainly with Luiz. But I just think Luiz has got to mature up and be the leader back there. That's my answer to that. Other than that, going forward in this team, I like it. I don't think there's a place for Cesc Fabregas. I think Matic and Kante make a good balance in there. Willian's been bright. Hazard enjoys roaming, playing as a number 10. What this system pretty much allows him to do. Costa playing well. Taking it forward.
Yeah.
How far can they go? This new look Chelsea, how far can they go? What should their target be with this man, with this team?
With this group? Are you talking with this group of players or are you talking about... If we're talking with this group of players, I think they're fighting, and I'm talking about a four, probably team fight for fourth spot right now. I think there's three better teams than them in the league. Now, whether defensively they can get it right, whether not being in Europe helps them.
Absolutely helps them, doesn't it?
You know, concentrating on Premier League games each week and doing the work on the training arm that the coach will require, I think is important, Rob.
Yeah, Jason Samuel Toya agrees with you there, and he tweeted us to say that the top four is the maximum for him. He thinks they can go this season. He said they're still missing a quality centre-back and a right winger. Watch out for them next season, especially in the summer. So I think there will be new players coming in. But I agree with you and with Jason there that the top four is a realistic possibility.
Just quickly before we move on to Leicester, anything in this sort of little spat between Conte and Costa? I mean, Costa's 7 goals, flying in terms of goals. We know he's on 4 yellow cards, Rob, and they've got Manchester United in the next league game. Costa sort of suggesting or looking like he was saying, sub me off, the manager not being happy.
Yeah.
Does that matter? Is there a little bit there? He played it down, Conte, after the game.
Yeah, and I think it's okay. And we know that you do get some little spark-ups with managers and players. Though it doesn't happen a lot. And for Costa to try and pick a fight almost with Antonio Conte, it just raises the eyebrows. I mean, we're
only
assuming,
one winner, by the way, in that fight.
Well, it's a nasty,
only one
nasty
winner.
Fight.
The manager wins that one.
I think he's a tough... Yeah, I think he's a toughie. But I was still a little bit surprised. His attitude towards a manager, that was nastiness. And I think they will have a quiet word, but I don't see it being a prolonged problem.
Do we have to look in and reassess our sort of thoughts on Leicester? I think we all thought maybe top six, top eight.
It hasn't
quite happened. I mean, they rested. Simone didn't play today. Mahrez was on the bench today with light of Champions League. I got to admit, from my point of view,
what do you think to that, Rob?
I'm not having it. You know why I'm not having it? Because I think this group of players... to play well, to play the kind of football that we saw last season, have to be 100% at it every minute of every game. And I don't think these players, Rob, are good enough to say some days, let's play 70%, let's look forward to the next game. I just didn't feel that... I didn't see the benefit of resting the players in going into a Champions League game where you've just got beat 3-0.
You know what the benefit is? The benefit is that these guys will be fitter, hungry, sharper. I'm just trying to think there, and often I find it clear to me what I think. But this one's a difficult one for me because they're not winning the league.
No.
They're not finishing the top four in the Premier League. The Champions League could be a special, special season. Copenhagen, of course, is a winnable game.
But they're not going to win the Champions League, by the way.
Well, but they'll feel they can have a real good run in it.
They're not going to win the Champions League, by the
way.
Why are you saying that? They aren't good enough to win the Champions League.
We would have said that last year about the Premier League.
No, I
think
they
the Champions League,
the
in some ways,
suits
because
them.
It's got less games and less of a long marathon run, they're going to qualify out of this group.
They'll make qualify.
And then over two legs, who knows? So I think... Is it
so
right
all
that they're
the
giving themselves,
the
manager's given this football club the best opportunity to progress, even though...
Where I'm different, Rob, I think with this group, you can't switch it on and switch it off with this group. They're not that kind of player. They have to take each game as it comes and then look at the next game and say, if somebody's tired, if somebody needs resting... I mean, Riyad Mahrez gets rested, apparently. I mean, he hasn't really got going, Rob. He hasn't got the rhythm. He's the kind of guy that might win your game today. He plays well against Chelsea, generally.
Yeah, I mean, it's... You know, we've talked about, and everybody's talked about, how N'Golo Kante is a huge miss for Leicester. And I get that. But even if he stayed at the football club right now...
He sparks things a little bit, but he can't play
how
it,
much
anything.
Of a distance. I mean, is Mahrez that bad? Is Vardy that bad without this one player?
No, but... there's sometimes somebody who links it together. I think Drinkwater's missed him. I think Drinkwater's not the same player.
To this degree, there was three star players.
Yeah.
N'Golo Kanté, Mahrez and Vardy. Mm-hmm. One of them's gone and two of them are not star players anymore.
Well, two of them are not playing like star players. You're 100% right. But, you know, that was the decision they made. They took the money, they moved him on, and that was the situation. Listen, let's take a little break, mate. We're going to move things forward on a day when Chelsea are looking better with their new formation. After the break, let's turn our attention to two teams with real title ambitions. Manchester City hosted Everton at the Etihad, and Spurs made a tricky journey to the Hawthorns, where you always know you're up against it with Tony Pulis's outfit. I'm Earl, he's Musto, together with the Two Robbies Football Show on NBC Sports Radio. We'll be back in a tick.
This is NBC Sports Radio.
Don't have a radio?
What the?
Congratulations, you're in the 1%. Check us out online at NBCSportsRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Two Robbies Football Show. Let's move it on, Rob, to many people's favourites for the title. Manchester City, second consecutive match where they've not got a win. They lost at Spurs, of course, and they got a draw today at home against Everton. Few changes. They've got a Champions League game on Wednesday against Barcelona away, so I get that. Aguero didn't start. Nolito didn't start, came on and scored the important equalising goal. First of all, do you have any issues with the changes and Aguero and Nolito probably rested for Wednesday?
No, because you're talking about a quality squad. I think Iheanacho's come in and done well. I think there's enough talent in that team. You know, rotations are going to be important. What's slightly more, I think, Rob, for me is I just think that, in a way, you know, 10 wins in those first 10 games, all competition. Now, all of a sudden, none in the last three. Perception changes quickly in football. Like, can you get at City? I know they dominated the game today, but is there a way you can run the game out of them as Spurs did? Can you hurry them like Celtic did and not get results
and
in?
Park the bus a bit today kind of worked.
So, you know, however you have to stop them, you have to stop them. You know, what I was wondering, Rob, is Pep Guardiola. I think we touched on it on the show. It's like, he's not used to losing games or drawing too many games. So from his mentality, will he be thinking about, let me work out another way with this? Do I have to start to look at things differently? The players, I think, will be okay with it. But the manager's not been, you know, Barcelona and Bayern Munich, you basically win every game.
It's a good point. I think he'll realise very quickly that this league, if he didn't already know it, it's really, really difficult, really, really competitive. I think in terms of tactics again today, like, just way different. I mean, we talked at the start, Rob, didn't we, about those fullbacks tucking in and this, that and the other. He does different things nearly every game now. He really is a thinker. He really does set his team up for a specific game. I think this isn't a win, but I don't think there's anything to worry about. Mm. They missed two penalties. De Bruyne and Aguero missed two penalties. Mm. Martin Stecklenburg had the game of his life in the goal. So Guardiola said it afterwards. That's football. And this particular time, I don't always agree with what he says afterwards, but I think, you know what? You ain't going to win every game. And when a goalkeeper does this and two world-class players miss penalties, maybe it just wasn't their day today. Nothing for me to worry about any more than that.
Let me focus attention just on one player for City before we give Everton a mention. Sergio Aguero, you talked about him missed penalties. He's missed a couple now this season. Apparently there was rumours that things in Argentina went right, got in a bit of stick from there. Is he just a bit off colour? Is that the one part of the team that Pep Guardiola can't do without? I mean, five goals already this season. He hasn't really quite got going. He missed three games because of the ban for the elbow. Mm. Team did okay without him. Is he just gone off colour a little bit?
Well, he's certainly gone off colour for Argentina. He missed a penalty for them in international football and a little bit of unrest, a little bit of stick from him in those games. So his place in that team is under jeopardy. But I think no. I don't think he's gone off colour, particularly in the Premier League. Five appearances, five goals. I think, to answer your first question, yes, they absolutely need him. If they're going to be champions this league, they need him to be at his best or near best. Because I don't think Iheanacho, even though you know, we really like him as a footballer, and he's done very well. He's got a couple of goals, I think, and 3 assists so far in his 5 appearances. But they need Aguero to fire, and I think he will fire as long as he can stay fit. Of course, he still is an important player. Yes, maybe he's a little bit off colour, but he has had an injury issue as well whilst he's been away. But for the most part, I don't see that. I think for Everton's point of view, just quickly on Everton, Rob, it was different today from Koeman. And I like the fact that Koeman, you know what? Martinez with this Everton team would try and go toe-to-toe, I think, with Guardiola. I think he'd try and outplay them and possess and open, be expansive. Koeman's basically said, he said it afterwards, they're better than us. We're defending deeply and narrowly, and they got the point.
Let's move it on to West Brom and Tottenham. Always going to be a difficult one, this, for Spurs travelling to London. Never an easy place to go. Remember this time, well, the same fixture last season, Spurs, West Brom, and West Brom got a draw and in a way ended Spurs' title hope. So it was always tough. Is this a good point for Pochettino in the circumstances? Hawthorns is always a place where you're going to struggle, or do you really want to be going there and getting the 3 points?
I think it's a good point. I think it's a good point. I mean, it doesn't. I mean, West Brom away, when they go 1-0 up, and we looked up at the screen, Rob, didn't we? And I'm saying, oh, here we go. It's Tony Pulis again. It's 1-0. And Dele Alli steps up in the 89th minute to equalise. I think you come away from the jump in the bus, you jump on your flight or whatever you're going to do, and you say, okay, it's not a great place to go. It's not easy. They are very defensive. And it isn't always going to go well. Vincent Janssen, again, Robbie Earl, played up front, and he hasn't looked likely.
Scored internationally, I think.
And injury for...
Yeah, Toby Alderweireld, yeah.
Right, so that has to be of concern. But they've got Eric Dier to come
in. Yeah, he was on the bench.
Wanyama played again in the holding role, so they have got cover there. But again, a little bit like City, I mean, this league is competitive, and teams aren't going to win every week. No. And I think this is another one for Spurs. Okay, we haven't lost, and we're still very close to the top of the league.
I think as well, you've got to give some credit. They're the only team now in the Premier League that are unbeaten, so you know, that stays alive again.
That means something.
They're going to the Champions League this week. It's going to be that challenge of Champions League football, then going back to league football next weekend is going to be the big thing for Spurs. And, you know, they got Bournemouth away at the weekend. Let's move it on, Rob, to a couple of other interesting results today. Bournemouth putting 6 past Hull. Mike Phelan gets the permanent manager's job, and then things go absolutely pear-shaped. Is it a case of, is he the right man for the job? Have Hull just kind of down tools since that early start of the season?
I think that early part of the season was special. Remember the huddle of Curtis Davis, and everybody was talking about Hull being a disaster, you know, an easy relegation. There was a little bit of spirit there, and they started off really well. But it's a long season, and I think now the manager's bedded in. He's just signed his contract. Everybody's happy. There might be a sense of, okay, the excitement's kind of died down. Yeah, we had a good start, but we've got a long season to go. I think we both have them down for relegation. The squad, as we know, is not big. It's not a great squad. They didn't do much in the window. The owner is looking to sell the club and didn't invest a lot. So I think it's a start. And we're not in winter yet, but it's going to be a long winter, I think, for Hull.
Credit for Bournemouth. 6 goals for Eddie Howe's team. Amazing. They're going really, really well. Stoke got their first win of the season against lowly Sunderland. Joe Allen again getting 2 goals. Sexy Stoker back, Robbie Musto. But what about sexy Sunderland? Is that any kind of story?
Well, Blunderland, as the miserable fan calls him in the northeast. It becomes draining. I mean, we've both spent plenty of seasons in and around that area, but never for as long a period as this. For
season out
to be down the bottom there, it grinds away, and it grinds away more at the fans.
Yeah.
The fans create an atmosphere that's, oh, here we go again. It's not healthy. Another team that I think you've got them in, haven't you? As a relegation team.
Yeah, I've got them to go down,
I just can't see how they can turn it around unless they do some remarkable things in January. It's just whether David Moyes stays through the winter.
See Big Sam Allardyce stepping back in there. Don't be surprised. West Ham getting an important win at Palace, Rob. Good day for Slaven Bilic. His team looked at it for the first time, one of the first times I've seen this season. Apparently had a bit of a pre-season over the international break. Team are on the front foot, got the goal from Lanzini. And disappointing day for Alan Pardew and his team, who were on a good run. And keep on having this, don't they, Pardew? Every time you think they're going to go on to the next step, something goes wrong.
Does he become complacent? Which goes through to the players. They start thinking there's something special. I'll tell you what I think of Crystal Palace. And I guess I've got to be careful how I say this, but the types of players that they have, the special players, and I'll list them. Jason Puncheon, Wilfred Zaha, Andros Townsend, Christian Benteke. Am I harsh in saying that they're flair players? They're not consistent players. They're streaky players. Does their season, is it going to mirror the form of those type of players that, you know what, history says they can't do it week in, week out? And does it make the team inconsistent because of their traits as footballers?
I hear you, Ogman. I put Johan Cabaye in that group as well. Yeah. But I just think if they're well motivated and well organised, Rob, they're good enough to do well. So we'll draw a line under City and Spurs title challenge, and we want to devote a whole section to Bob Bradley's first game in charge at Swansea City. And we really could do with somebody who knows this guy.
Who knows
so
this
it's not
guy.
Me. It's not Musto. It's our mate Kyle Martini. He's going to join us after the break when we're going to do a breakdown on Bradley. You're listening to the Two Robbies Football Show on NBC Sports Radio. We'll be back in a mo with our special guest.
The Pitch. It's the Two Robbies Football Show. NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. Listen 24/7 online or with the app, because every day is game day.
Welcome back to the Two Robbies Football Show. Now it's time for the Grainger Get It Done inbox, brought to you by Grainger. Visit safety.grainger.com for the information to help keep your facility safe and your people safer. Grainger. For the ones who get it done. Right, today's question comes from Bruce in Tulsa. And Bruce wants to know, are we all going a bit overboard with the Bradley appointment? Can we put this into some perspective? And so we've got our mate on the phone, Kyle Martino. Kyle, you know Bob Bradley. Are we all going a little bit crazy about his nationality here?
Yeah, you know, I know Bob. I never played for him, but know him well. And the reason we're going this big on it is because it's historic. I mean, the first American manager ever in the Premier League. Maybe it shouldn't have taken this long, but it has. And, you know, it took a while for players to break into the Premier League picture. And initially it was only goalkeepers, right? And how many either Brits or fans of the Premier League legislated for Americans joining the Premier League as goalkeepers was, oh, well, they play a lot of hand-eye sports. They play basketball. They play football. Of course, they have great goalkeepers. But it took a while for the Clint Dempseys of the world to really light up the Premier League and earn respect as an American player. And now what's lagging is the American coach, and Bob Bradley's the first. So I don't think we're going overboard about the fact that this is an enormous moment in American sports, maybe bigger than Bob wants it to be as a reluctant ambassador for everyone who will follow him. But whenever you're the first in anything, it's a really big deal.
Kyle, just looking at this appointment and Bob Bradley here, you give us your reasons why he's going to be a success at Swansea City. What's he good at?
Yeah, really good question. And I think the reason he got the job is he demonstrated the first thing that he's good at. He met with Hugh Jenkins, and that was the gatekeeper, someone very familiar with and has had the respect of the fans and has had his hand on the wheel at Swansea for some time. And that was the first interview he had, and he impressed him with how cogent he can be, how intelligent he is, how passionate he is when he speaks about the game, and how charismatic he is. And that earned him the right to move on to the next step and try to convince the American owners that, yes, probably we're paying attention to him because he was American and he was on a short list with others that got the opportunity to come in and try to sell themselves. And he sold himself to the group. And now it's about the players and what he's going to do on the field. And we've gotten our first glimpse at the Emirates against Arsenal, what he's going to do. And a lot of that characteristic translates. He can sit in a room and he can inspire you. And take Pep Guardiola, Jurgen Klopp, some of the managers that we all respect and marvel at as complete tactical geniuses and as the higher upper echelon of managers in this game. First and foremost, they can inspire. You believe what they're saying. You trust that they're going to make you a better player. And I think that that's the first thing, the first box that Bob checks. Now, next, he is very organized. He falls under the category of almost obsessive about the game and his preparation. I talked to him for a few hours, 20 or 30 minutes a couple days ago, and he called me at 11 p.m. his time because he went to go watch the under-23s train. He watched tape. He watched Arsenal. He was prepping for the game on the weekend in the middle of the week and had time to go to dinner with his wife and called me at 11 p.m. that was so we could chat for a half an hour about the game. And that's a testament to how hard he works at his craft. Now, he's at the biggest job of his career so far, the most pressure he's ever faced so far. But I think over 500 games managed over a 35-year managerial career, he has the acumen, he has the experience to perform well here.
It's interesting, Carl, because at the moment, and I've heard the phrase put out a couple of times, you know, Bob Bradley's brand of football. You know, I don't actually know what that is. I've seen a US team that he worked under who were very hardworking and put a good press on with the opposition. This is a Swansea team where style was important. This is a league where perception becomes important. Tony Pulis gets tarred with the brush. Sam Allardyce got tarred with the brush. What can we expect from Bob Bradley with a Swansea team who people are used to seeing when they're at their best, a nice sort of aesthetic way of playing football?
Yeah, I mean, I think with Guillaume, we saw a more pragmatic version of the current Swansea team than you'll see with Bob Bradley. Mm-hmm. I think that, he has a lot of the similarities and shares a lot of the characteristics of a Guillaume in terms of being prepared when you don't have the ball, being organized when you don't have the ball. But in his press conference, he said a few things that I think speak to his style and what he can do, which is he wants to be energetic, bright, and attractive when they have the ball. He wants to be vertical. He wants to play through the lines. He wants to do a lot of the things that you see a lot of these other teams. In their category, I would probably say Southampton, teams like that aspire to be more than just a team that's hard to beat. You know, be more than maybe a Tony Pulis side that's hard to beat. And so his U.S. teams have been hard to beat over the years, but you know, he beat Spain as Euro champions before they won the World Cup and the Confederations Cup 2-0. He showed that he can play in big games in a reactive sort of pragmatic way, but also during the Gold Cup and other moments with Steinbeck and Lahr, he shows that if he has the talent, if he has the players at his disposal, he absolutely is capable of opening up and playing a more attractive style.
Just to give our listeners, Kyle, just a little bit of insight about what it's like. As a young player, I was in the stands watching various games at my clubs that I was at, and I was astounded by the nasty, vitriol, horrible pressure put on managers when things weren't going well. I couldn't believe it. I remember thinking to myself and saying to my parents, there's no way I'd ever be a manager to face some of that horrible stick from the crowd. Now, the jobs he's done so far, he's done well. I'd say he probably hasn't had real scrutiny, real pressure, and nasty fan reaction to anything. They're in the bottom three right now. He should be granted plenty of time to put it right. But if things over the next few weeks get nasty, they don't get the right results, I promise you that he will be getting some fierce criticism and horrible stick. You know him. Is he the sort of guy? Yeah, what do you think is how he's going to react to that, Kyle?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and we talked about that at length. We talked about, when I spoke to him a couple days ago, what it's like being the quote-unquote outsider, being an American in quote-unquote their game. And I faced prejudice when I first started working on the Premier League. People that basically made up their mind about me before they ever heard me talk about the game. And, you know, he's going to face some of that. He's going to face people that won't look past his nationality or his Wikipedia page, that either have made up their mind that he won't succeed or are hoping that he doesn't succeed. So he's completely ready for that. He knows that that's going
to
happen.
He's strong enough, Carl. But he's strong enough to handle that, you think?
Yeah. I mean, what he went through in Egypt, dealing with a revolution in the country, dealing with more than just soccer, dealing with human issues that most people will never go through in their entire life. I mean, he is resilient, he's strong, he's thick-skinned. But the other thing is, it's not only, you know, social media and everything has made being a manager so much worse, because you used to just don't read the papers and you're fine. I mean, it's everywhere now. But it's not once you get past the American side of things, which I think people will, it's only the minority that really show that prejudice. I think the majority are just saying, you know what, all right, prove it. Well, she has to prove it. Even Arsene Wenger, when he came from Monaco, he was underwhelming. I mean, he's revolutionized the Premier League, and still on a daily basis he faces criticism that I think is unfair. So he'll face that while he's there. The thing that becomes more troubling is not that, you know, is it bad to hire an American? It's, I look at the bigger issue should be for people in England is how do guys like Steve McClaren, after a decade of aberrant performances, still get high-profile jobs? I mean, they should embrace the fact that people are looking outside of this paradigm where there are many managers that haven't proven themselves that continually get jobs after jobs after jobs based on where they're from.
That's a good point.
You know, Eddie Howe, for instance, Eddie Howe probably wouldn't have been given a Premier League job if he didn't get his team promoted. That's wrong. The lack of Premier League experience, I don't think, should be a prerequisite that you have to have worked in or played in the Premier League in order to prove yourself.
Yeah, you're 100% correct, Carl. And Eddie Howe's a good one because Eddie Howe's probably one of the brightest coaches in English football. Wouldn't be in the Premier League if he didn't bring Bournemouth up. So a really good point. Just finally, mate, and quickly, we just want to get a sense of it, and I think I asked you this today. What's success for Bob Bradley at Swansea? You know, he's got a great opportunity now. He gets his chance. Everybody seems to have different things. Some are mid-table, some are just staying in the league. What do you think, having spoken to him, he sees as success over the next year or in the couple of seasons on?
Yeah, it's a really good question, Robbie, and a hard one because, you know, Swansea, based on Brendan Rodgers to Martinez, even Sosa and Laudrup, I mean, things were on an uptick, not only style, but battling for Europe. I think things have been reset a little bit, and it needs to be recalibrated. New ownership, new expectations. And I think 3 or 4 games left in the season, if they're safe, that's good enough for the first year. No manager gets enough patience to really finish a project. And I think they need to show patience in Bob Bradley. If he can have them safe with a month or two to go, I say leave him in the job and see what he can do.
Carl Martino, magnificent stuff, mate. Lovely, mate. Thank you very much for coming on. That was fantastic stuff. Thanks again, mate. Okay, we have a little matter of the biggest game in English. Cheers, mate. English football. We'll talk after our final break about Liverpool versus Manchester United. You listen to the Two Robbies Football Show on NBC Sports Radio.
Think you've got something to say? Tweet us at NBC Sports Radio. Hashtag get it done. Or email your questions and comments to the Granger Get It Done inbox. Get it done. Get it done. At NBCSportsRadio.com. Get connected to NBC Sports Radio because every day is game day.
Welcome back to the Two Robbies Football Show. Now, before we move on to Liverpool versus Manchester United, the Monday afternoon game, I just wanted to go through a few tweets. I tweeted out there about Bob Bradley. Was he the right man for Swansea City? And we got plenty of reaction, but Radu Marinescu tweets us to say, I actually think he is the right man. They had a fight in them today. Mike Tumulty tweets us to say, with a healthy Montero, Swans will be a lot better. Also need to bench Fernandes. We have much better options at centre-back. Jason Samuel Toye tweets us to say, but he isn't the right man. Replacing Gwydolin with him is a bad move. I mean, just compare their careers. Feel the Swans will go down. Alex Adema tweets us to say they look really ready to fight back after going down by 2 to a vastly superior team. So mixed reaction out there, but most seem to think he's the right man. Now, Robbie, on Monday, the biggest game in English football, the most successful teams in English football, Liverpool versus Manchester United. Liverpool in great form.
You're making
at the
it
moment.
Sound like a big game, Robbie.
I think it's kind of a big deal, a big game. Go on then. What are you thinking?
Well, everything right now points to, for me, Rob, to a Liverpool win. Liverpool are more fashionable. There's talk about Klopp's is a little bit more advanced.
Isn't that just the time that Mourinho normally steps in and
exactly.
does
exactly. And so, listen, I'm not following fashion. I'm saying that Jose Mourinho has won the title enough times here in England and in other countries to know what's required. He knows how to spoil a party. Remember, his Chelsea teams have done it in the past to Liverpool. He'll be going to Anfield with a game plan, with his team ready and raring to go. It won't be as easy as maybe some of the Liverpool fans are suggesting, but it would be a huge win for Liverpool. It would put a 6-point gap between the two with games coming up. It's a big, big game for both these teams.
I'm looking at the team news, and I think for Liverpool's point of view, there's two midfield players that are doubts, and
could
we don't know.
And I'll be disappointed if they don't play.
I'd be disappointed. Wijnaldum playing for Netherlands versus France, and Adam Lallana. Right. Those two are big, big injury doubts. Now, I think in terms of people that might come in, I think Emre Can could come in there. Gruic, maybe. Marco Gruic, a new signing again, could come in and add a real power to that midfield. But that, for me, is the key, Rob, because I think that's where they have a big advantage over Manchester United. If Lallana and Wijnaldum is playing with Henderson behind, Paul Pogba, Herrera could get outnumbered a little bit.
And outrun, Rob. There's an energy and a movement in that Liverpool midfield that's a threat.
Do you think United win or have a much better chance of winning if Lallana and Wijnaldum not playing?
Yeah, I do. I just think that they are key to the system in that pivot that they go from those deep line positions. They can break lines. They're both starting to look a little bit more productivity in terms of goals, in terms of assists. I just think it's an area of the pitch that's going to dominate the game. If Manchester United can get control in there, they've got players who can hurt them.
How about Wayne Rooney having to play in this game? This is going to be physical. It's going to be fast. It's going to be a ridiculous atmosphere. I absolutely see it.
I see it. Do you remember in the past, and we've seen a couple of games, and I'm not sure who it was, it might have been Ryan Giggs, where sometimes the game becomes too quick for great play. Wayne Rooney can't play it.
It's too quick for one matter, Rob.
The speed and pace.
It's too intense for one matter.
No, I'm not so sure Robbie must
Wayne Rooney's got more about him. He's got more steel. He knows the importance of this game.
I've written two things down here. Liverpool won it like a sauna. Red hot, sweating and energy. Manchester United won it like a freezer. Cool it down, be nice and controlled and pick the times when they want to inject a little bit of pace in the game. I think the Liverpool midfield, if they see Rooney in the midfield, would be happy.
I think they're going to play defensive. I think going to sit behind the ball. Mm-hmm. I think Wayne Rooney's going to sit in front of Pogba and Hazard. I think Martial's going to play on one side. I think Rashford on the other side with Big Zlatan up front. They're going to soak up the Liverpool pressure and they're going to sting them with those two young wide players with pace on a counter-attack.
So, what are you saying then? Manchester United go there and get a result?
Yes, I'm saying United go there and at least get a draw. If Lallana and Wijnaldum are not playing, I think they nick the game 1-0. What do you reckon?
Yeah, the draws are possible. I think it's as much as Manchester United go, but I think you'd have to say Liverpool are favourites on that day. Let's not forget these two other big games coming up on Sunday, Rob. Your Borough take on Watford. What are you thinking now?
2-1 to Middlesbrough. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking draw. Southampton take on Burnley.
3-0 to the Saints.
Yeah, I love the Saints as well. And this, so on the first day that we had an American coach working in the Barclays Premier League, he had a decent defeat, which you'll encourage him, but there's lots of work to do. Just time to reward our tweet of the day. That goes to Mike Tumulty for his tweet about Swansea. A healthy Montero makes him better. Bench Fernandes and the club's got better options, but they'll be okay. So, Mike, make sure you have it messages your address and we'll get a Two Robbies scarf in the post here. And don't forget, keep listening to Two Robbies podcast. You can download all those at iTunes. And here is every Premier League Saturday, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on NBC Sports Radio for your hourly fix of Premier League football.
And thanks to you all for listening to the show, getting involved via social media. The game's about fans. We want to know what you think about your team and any issue you have with the Premier League. We'll be back next Saturday, same time, 5 p.m. Eastern on NBC Sports Radio. Until then, it's good night from me.
It's good night from him.
Good night.
Want to earn extra cash for the holidays? Amazon Flex is expanding in the San Francisco Bay Area. Opportunities in Richmond, Oakland, and Daly City. Earn around $20 to $27 an hour delivering packages with Amazon. All you need is a car, a smartphone, and some free time. This is a great opportunity to be your own boss, deliver when you want, and make extra money. With Amazon Flex, you'll have flexible hours and great earnings. To get started, download the app at flex.amazon.com. That's flex.amazon.com. You must be at least 21 years old. Limited opportunities available. Get started at flex.amazon.com.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.